to episode 493 of This Is Whole Life, where every week we dig a little bit deeper into the message from the past week, and hopefully we're learning to love God in a deeper and more meaningful way together as family. We are in, man, the closing weeks of the year of overflow, 2025. I cannot believe it is almost, it's Thanksgiving next week, guys. This is, I'm not sure how it got here so quickly, but here we are. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about some participation. And in that same vein, what works best here at the podcast is when we have cooperation, your voice, your questions, your input, and your ideas. 407-965-1607. Send a voicemail, send a text, or podcast at wholelife.church. And we are happy to answer those questions right here directly, and then you can hear them get answered right live on air. As always, joining me across left is Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor, lead pastor Ken Wetmore somewhere. Oh, he's on the phone, so he's not actually here. I am. And to my left, as always, Lucas, and my name is Randy. We are the communication team here at Whole Life Church. And today we're diving into the penultimate message in the double portion series entitled Fearless, which apparently I am not, and Kevin is not, and Justin is not. But also, hats off to either of you, both of you, if you're listening. And I'll bet they didn't get up with walking the plank from the top of a virtual skyscraper on their bingo card on Saturday morning. But there they were, being a good sport and kind of proving the fact that sometimes reality is what you make of it. Even though you know you're safe, you have your pastor, your friend, your confidant holding next to you or scaring the absolute living daylights out of you because he touches you without telling you he's walking over and you can't see him. But he's there. He's encouraging you. He's telling you, hey, guys, you're on a stage. You're fine. Don't worry about it. And yet it still seems like it's a long way down from the top of that skyscraper. Should the plank give or should you lose balance or swat at one of those birds that were really, really getting after Kevin once he saw the birds, it was over. I really felt like the birds were the ones that did him in. And speaking of that, as far as being as a participant also, guys, join the Slack channel. We're having a lot of fun over in the Slack channel. And we had Aaron actually posted a link from an article from 1517.org called The Misunderstood Story of Bear Attacks, a Bald Prophet, and 42 Kids. 42 mouthy kids, and it gives another perspective to consider what the author was trying to communicate through that story in the Bible. So join the Slack channel. It's in today's show notes. And if the link doesn't work, just send me an email to podcast@wholelife.church from the email you'd like to be subscribed from, and I will make that happen. And then also Erin, being the good sport that she is, wanted to make sure that she also followed up on our request from, I think this was two episodes ago, but she may have just caught up. So here we go. Hold on. Listen very closely.
Saren.
So, Saren, thank you so much for joining in the fun and pronouncing your – I don't know what that one was.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
So I have a guest with us right now.
Uh-oh. Who's here?
Are you serious?
It sounds like Rochelle.
Rochelle just brought Furman Fordham, who is our guest speaker a couple years ago during our Black History Month.
Yes.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Furman, how are you?
It's good. It's good to see you all. I was sitting here wondering who in the world would be taking this gentleman so seriously. But now I realize it's
just
that. That makes sense.
It's all coming
good
together
to
now.
Hear from you all. Yeah. So here's for everybody out there listening to the podcast right now, you're wondering what's going on. How did this happen? I am with Rochelle in Destin, Florida for meetings that the Southern Union has with departmental directors and from the different conferences in the Southern Union. So I'm her plus one this week, which is really weird because we've been doing this for almost 20 years. But I was a communication director in Georgia, Cumberland, and I was a youth director in Kentucky, Tennessee. So we'd always come to this and Rochelle would always come along with me. What's unfair about it, though, now is that before, when we come to these meetings, Rochelle had to take care of our little children. And now, all things are not equal here.
Little kids and give some responsibility.
So I'm actually sitting out in my car with the windows down, and I was talking to you guys when Furman Fordham walks up and I have to call him President Furman Fordham, President-elect, because he was just voted as the President for the South Central Conference.
Congratulations.
And as I'm speaking about why are people taking you seriously, why is our whole conference taking me seriously?
Well, we all know the answer. We've all been taking you seriously for a long time. So we appreciate
the humility.
I saw this coming, and we are very happy for you. So while I have you here, let me just – the sermon this last week was on Elisha's miracle where he makes the army blind.
Yeah.
And then and he asks for his servant's eyes to be open. So there's this two things. He's asked for his servant's eyes to be open so he can see the angel armies, but then he closes the eyes of the other armies. Do you have any deep theological thoughts on this?
Right at the moment?
You know, just because you walked up, I'm just inserting you in.
I am so amazed at the creativity of the person who preached that sermon, because I've never thought about the fact that we're asking for blindness on one person and sight for the other. You know, I've probably just noticed the open their eyes so they can see. But I mean, it's the opposite. That was very interesting. That must have been preached by you.
It was. And Puck, one of the things that you would have missed out on also is that we actually got VR headsets.
Did you really?
And had people stand up on the stage and walk a virtual plank on top of a really tall building. And so that they knew they were safe on the stage, but you see them feeling really nervous. Yeah. And if you've ever done that before, it's pretty scary.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have another question. Did you go ahead and finish?
I did want to say, it is amazing, though, seriously. To realize there is a whole spiritual world that's going on that we're unaware of, you know? I mean, it puts flesh on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know? So I think it's so important for us to remember that there are spiritual factions, spiritual powers that are engaged in, you know, this great controversy, and we frequently walk around oblivious, but we need to be aware that we're in a great controversy. We're in a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Good thoughts.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I had one other question for Puck before we head by or President Fordham. President Furman Fordham. What do people call you?
Mr. President.
What I don't want to hear. Yeah, people.
Your Holiness.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
I happen to be somebody who I really enjoy putting the spotlight on other people.
Okay.
But I didn't realize how much I kind of deflected on me.
Yeah.
Like I just, you know, as a pastor, you get to talk about everybody else's birthdays. You get to kind of joke with everybody. But I realize when it's on me, I kind of want to hide. So my friends that know that know I don't want to be called Mr. President.
Okay.
Because it's too much attention. So they.
So you know that I'm going to call you that. So there we go. So that. By the way, congratulations on Kansas City season. You're wearing a Kansas City shirt right now.
Oh. I am trying to hold on to the last best of any remnant of
Kansas City. Since I'm calling you Mr. President, I'm doing the other side of keeping you humble.
Okay, but my team is doing a great job.
I have a serious question.
Okay. This podcast has devolved quickly, hasn't it?
I have a serious question.
Go for it.
As a leader in our church, studied your Bible a lot. What are your thoughts on Elijah versus Elijah? What do you think Elijah's character might have been like?
Who do you think was the greater prophet?
Well, I tell you this. My wife loves Elisha. He is her favorite, like, Bible character of all time, you know?
Yes.
And really, when you compare them, I think Elijah is probably more well-known, you know, just if you were to ask little kids or something. But so much more space is Elijah. Yeah, Elisha has so much more.
Yes, for sure.
I would think that Elisha had to be wondering, where's my chariot?
Yeah.
That's what I would be thinking.
And we've been talking about that in this series. Yeah, and what Rochelle's really trying to get at is I might have taken a swipe at Elijah. I might have said that I thought he was kind of a grouchy old man to Elisha's kind.
Okay.
You know, I see Elisha's Elijah's kind of being a kind of a crotchety.
Yeah. Grumpy.
And grumpy.
Yeah.
But Rochelle takes exception to that. Elijah's, I think, one of her favorites.
No, I mean, well, I like Elijah because I like just. I think it's a really good story. I think the story of him going out into the wilderness and, you know, just, I think he really thought one thing was going to happen then it didn't happen. And I think it just really shows the humanity what's going to happen and of how he lets you down. He's honest with God. God doesn't reprimand him. I just like that whole exchange.
Now you don't think Elisha isn't he the one, which one does the she bears?
That's okay. Elisha.
So what do you think? He's the old grouchy one?
Well, but
he's the ball.
You know, I think we're running out of time for you two.
That's exactly what I said, because I said, Ken, it's like, Elijah is a strong leader. Yes. It's like, but nobody had
God sent the,
God did
so
not
Elisha,
nobody was going to pick on Elijah,
but Elisha didn't ask for the bears. He just cursed the kids for mocking him, and then God decided to send bears. So
I don't know. I think it's a different personality.
Yeah.
And I do think Ken is more of an Elijah, just for the record.
Oh, that's what my wife is. He's like, you're more like Elijah, so I don't know why you're hating.
I like Elijah. So I mean, here's why. Firstly, he confronts kings. He's very bold.
He is the man.
He's not afraid of Jezebel. But there are times, there's times he needs a break from people, and he has his moments.
Ken, she has a good point. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You are going to confront.
Yes.
And you probably do recharge
but
by
I,
getting away
so,
from people.
Okay, yes. I can't argue. I can see what you're saying. I just want to be more like Elisha.
Okay.
And I don't want to be the, you know, the guy who runs into the wilderness crying after a God does something huge.
Yeah.
But it's not like that, though. So that's the part. It's just like, it's okay for people to need to take a minute. There's no shame in that.
Randy, you thought you were going to, you weren't going to get your Wetmore debate today, but.
Randy left. He went to get snacks. He's
gone. Listen, Steve, please forgive me for turning your productive conversation off and off ramp. I really apologize. But I just love this man, and it was good to see him, and I could think of nothing better than sneaking up and interrupting whatever he was doing.
It's great to hear your voice.
Hey guys,
good to be heard. I appreciate it.
Okay, before you leave,
and I really want to thank you all for embracing this gentleman. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I had the opportunity of like praying with him as he was considering the transition, and to just see it be such a hand in glove, and to see how the team is bonded. It's just an answer to prayer, and we just thank you all for being such good team members.
Well.
Maybe they disagree.
Hey, Prez, we love you, and we look forward to having you back sometime soon. Okay.
You're getting lots of titles today.
All right. All the best for you, Prez. Okay. Wow. Well, see, now, who had that on their bingo card for this morning when they woke up? Huh?
Not me.
No, I didn't think
I nearly
so.
Jumped out of my skin when he came and tapped me on the shoulder, just like I tapped you. I think I nearly... anyway.
Awesome. Parking lot conversations with Ken. There you go.
Maybe I should just, maybe from now on with the podcast, I should just go park in a random parking lot and roll down my windows and just see what happens, you know?
See if somebody
could go wrong.
Yeah, see if somebody can find you and where you might be. This morning, Carla found me at Lineage and laughed at me after nearly falling off the curb. She called and laughed at me. So, you know? It's just kind of how it rolls. You never know.
For clarity, Randy almost fell off the curb.
But she called me and I was like, why are you calling me? And she's like, you just about fell over. And I was like, where is that girl? Anyway. So I'm wondering, Ken, the story this week is it's Elisha versus the king of the Arameans. And this is a great story. And the thing that I'm wondering, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, the plan is to capture Elisha at Dothan. Like, the king is mad because every time they make a move, Elijah tells, you know, Israel, King of Israel, what they're doing. And, but if Elisha knew all the things that this guy spoke of, the king, even in the privacy of his bedroom, it says in the text, why did he think things would be differently other than ending poorly? But also, I'm not sure what the plan could have been given the situation, like to, if someone has that much clear channel communication to God, I mean, is there a plan that's going to work? And exactly what would that be?
Yeah, I really, that's one of the big questions I have in that story that I there's clearly no answer to, but yeah, it seems a little strange.
I'm just like, this poor guy, he's got to be just ready to just like rip his hair out, kill anything that moves, hoping that maybe Elisha's behind that tree under that rock or.
Yeah, this was the Old Testament version of an IQ test.
But, you know, and then so he's going to go to Dothan, and the hillside around Elisha is filled with horses and chariots of fire. And as you were talking about that, I kind of drifted a little bit through the story because I'd read through that story earlier, and I was thinking to myself, just putting myself in not only the servant's position, but even Elisha. I mean, come on, even though you kind of know, because God has given you all this information, like if you're the person on the that in his position, he knows it. Knows what's going to happen, relays it. But even at that, that has to be a little bit like the VR where, yeah, you know, you're on the stage and you know that it could be pretty cool. There could be some fun things. It could be some awesome things. But can you expect what he saw out of God? I mean, how could the expectation been there? And what is the response when you look up and he had to be surprised too, right? In awe of what God was doing. Is there anything?
You know, my imagination, Elisha's just kind of completely chill the whole time because he knows what's going on.
Is he?
That's the way I feel about it. But
yeah,
I think the servant felt pretty surprised.
I don't know. What do you think, Melanie? Do you think that was on Elisha's bingo card when he woke up?
Well, if he asked God to open the servant's eyes, that must mean that he was already seeing what he wanted God to help the servant see. So that would be my guess, that maybe in the story he already has that extra sight.
Already knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
just guessing.
Two out of three can't be bad. Lucas, what do you think?
I agree with Melanie.
Okay.
This is why Lucas is my favorite.
That's always a smart thing to do, Lucas.
Yeah.
You might not want to agree with me, but always agree with Melanie.
Exactly.
But I mean, the story just continues to pile on top of itself in the unexpected, maybe the weirdness, in a little bit where, out of all the things Elisha could have asked for, he chooses blindness on the army, leads them to Samaria, where he's basically begged to let the Israel king and his army wipe them out. And
yeah, the menu had to be just endless, right?
Right.
Plus one for leprosy, plus two for locusts.
And, you know, and then to have your hopes and dreams as an army person, right? You're never going to get a better situation than you have here. These is your enemy who has been harassing you forever. They've been raiding your people and you have them all right there. And it's like, oh, you brought me a gift, right? Can I kill it? Huh? Can I kill him? It's like a cat with a mouse. Can I kill it? Can I kill it? You gonna let me? And then it's like, no. Bring the extra cheese and, you know, feed him well. Bring a feast. And then it says that the raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. But yet when you go down to the next verse, that's kind of not true. I know we didn't go that far, though. We ended the message at that verse, but then it gets really weird after that. So was it a different king in the next verses that brought back the desperation and the bad, all the bad stuff?
You know, that You know, Randy, I purposefully avoided talking about that. So thanks for bringing that up.
Awesome.
Because I didn't include it. I didn't include at the end where it said that they no longer raided. And then in the very next verse said, and then when the king of Aram made war again, it is one of those things. And I think where I was hoping what people would really see out of this sermon, and pun intended, is the whole visual of it, that in one case he has his servant's eye, he asks for his God to open his servant's eyes. And then in the next case, he asks for God to close the eyes of the army that was looking for him. And so this really is about God's ability to help us see or not see things. And I think it's something that's worth thinking about if you're asking God to help you see what you need to see, and not see what you don't need to see. Those are things that I think are equally interesting things to ponder.
Huh. What would you ask God not to see? Anybody?
I think for me, I like to not see some of the meanness that people point towards the people I love, and to be a little bit more blinded. So I don't, because I have a strong sense of justice, and so I definitely would like to call down fire on people at times. And so I think I'd probably like to be blinded to some of that, so that I would be kinder.
That's a good one. I was just trying to think of one while you were saying that one, like what would be something that I don't want? Because does it make us less aware or less, I don't know, in the instance you just gave, you know, it could make you a little kinder possibly by not having your, you know, getting your ire up when somebody does something unkind to someone that you love. But does that make it easier for us to not stand up for things that when we see injustice? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard because there are things that, you know, that I've learned that sometimes I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wouldn't unknow them.
Well, that's kind of what
if I had the choice.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was trying to get around what you just said, because I'm like, well, maybe there's things that I know there's things that have been unpleasant that I kind of wish I hadn't seen or didn't know or whatever. But then when you think about some of the ways that those instances have made you a better person, but also to be fair and kind of go with Ken, is some of those instances I've done things that I really regret, things I've said, things I've done, because I let, you know, my humanity and my sense of, maybe, I don't know if it was sense of justice or just sense of rage, but
I think I would choose a different superpower.
maybe. Well, either way, I can see why, and I pretty much figured that was why you didn't continue with the last part. But for anyone, for extra credit, if you do want to finish that verse, just go and finish the chapter, because there were donkey heads selling for 80 pieces of silver, dove's dung selling for 5 pieces of silver, and royal cannibalism. So I think there's a lot more to go in that one. So if you're into interesting stories in the Bible, just finish that one out. It's kind of fun. But
so I'm curious, Melanie, do you have a theory on that, or do you understand, is this one of those situations where maybe the editors put something in a different place or did something differently?
I really don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was odd. That's all. I thought this was that story, and maybe they're connected, maybe they're not. I don't know either. But
and it could be a compilation of stories as well, and that's why they juxtapose that way.
Hmm. Okay. I just thought it was really odd.
But even at the end of Elisha's life, he's promising victory to the king of Israel over Aram. So it is a weird thing that at the end of that particular story, it says, but maybe, I don't know, if it makes a difference, but maybe they did less raiding and just straight up wars. I don't know. You would have also thought, by the way, that Naaman might have quit doing those raids after he was healed, and that Elisha might have not you might not have wanted to target Elisha.
Yeah. Well, something that Puck said earlier that made me wonder if there was, I mean, is there any historical, I mean, proof to this story? I mean, is there any way to know whether or not this is just another, a story, or is there any way that we can collaborate or, to know if this was an actual historical event?
There's no other recording anywhere else of this story, okay. or archaeological evidence.
Okay. I mean, I'm just wondering because of the, you know, of
that
the,
I'm aware
of the spiritual nature of the story and kind of that battle behind the scenes of good and evil, and just how much of that do we think, you know, happens on a base, you know, I mean, this is a pretty grand scale when you are there and there's the, you know, the army is there for you. And then everywhere you see chariots of fire, horses. I mean, that's just almost mind boggling.
So I have a question for everybody on the panel. In this story, Elisha does have chariots of fire protecting him. So my question is, would you rather have chariots of fire protecting you your entire life, or would you rather be caught into heaven in a chariot of fire?
I'll take the protective detail.
Lucas?
I'll take the one that will take me to heaven.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, maybe we can have both. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, why can't I have that protective detail throughout my life? And then at the end, I mean, if God's going to send the protective detail in a situation like this, I mean, he didn't take Elisha that way, but I mean,
it's interesting because you could argue that Elijah did have the protective detail his entire life and then got taken to heaven, and Elisha had a protective detail, but didn't have that same detail that took him into heaven. So, but, you know, because I cannot let my wife, I'm going to have to go with, I'd rather be Elisha. I'd rather have the protective detail.
Way to stand your ground.
I will stand my ground. I will do it.
You're probably right.
But here's the thing. Elisha believes in his protective detail. Elijah apparently didn't, because when Jezebel threatens his life, he doesn't say there's more on my side than on yours. He says, I'm the only one left.
Yeah,
and that's, so, I hadn't really thought about that parallel between those stories, but.
So Elijah was blind.
Apparently Elijah didn't believe that protective detail was there for him when it came to Jezebel. And again, I know it sounds like I'm hating on Elijah, and I don't want to do that because Elijah was clearly an incredible prophet. However, I really would like to have the faith of Elisha that when armies are surrounding me, I don't freak out. And Rochelle's not wrong. By the way, that is my nature. I do freak out when that stuff happens. I would be like, so I can totally relate to Elijah on that. But I want to be like Elisha where it just doesn't faze me, where I'm like, oh, well, just Lord, help him see what I'm seeing, which is that I'm already surrounded by chariots of fire and everything is going to be okay. There's nothing that can happen to me that because of these armies of angels that are surrounding me, I'm nothing that God doesn't allow.
It would hard to be arguing against seeing that protection all the time. I think that's what our usual complaint is. When we go through the valley, is it's like, well, I just feel like I'm all alone. Footprints in the sand, right? Things like that where, you know, you don't see it and you think you're all alone. And then you realize afterwards or after the fact or when you get to the other side that, oh, you know, God was carrying me the whole time rather than, yeah, I survived and I get my chariot that way. Now, I think on second thought, I think I'd have to go with, I would rather be able to see. Not to say that that was what he saw every day, but the more often you could see it at least, or if you saw it once in your life at that scale, would that be enough to carry you for the rest of your life? Like, well, I mean, God's not letting me see it now, but I'm pretty sure it's still there. I don't know. That's a tough one.
So yeah, I am. This story in a book that I'm listening to right now has inspired me, and I am actually planning this. I've used this time with Rochelle, with her in meetings while I've been here at the hotel. I've used the time to be working on my 2027 sermon series. So I am thinking in 2027, I'm going to do a series called Things Unseen, where we talk about the unseen world that the Bible discusses and stories. This isn't the only story. In fact, the Bible is very clear that there's this whole unseen realm that we don't see, but that's very much impacting our physical reality. So I'm going to do it right now on the books, Melanie. I don't know if you've even seen that. I've been working on that, but yeah, I've put a series in for that.
All right.
I'll have to go check it out.
Okay.
So you only have to wait a year and a half to get there, but you know, we'll hang in there. Episode 600 of
this is whole life. It's coming. All right. Let's get to questions with Lucas. I think we have a couple.
Yep.
And let's get started.
Okay. First question. Sometimes it's so difficult to believe that things will be okay when you're sitting in the pit of darkness and everything is not going well and you're alone. How do you believe in what you can see when you're in the pit?
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I think we shouldn't like sugarcoat it. It's hard to believe what you can't see and what does not appear to be. It's hard to not believe the reality that you see in front of you. And so in those situations, the only thing I can do is for me, admitting that I'm a little bit more like Elijah and a little less like Elisha. The only thing I can do is try to remember to ask God to open my eyes and to help me have faith and help me to believe and help me to see the help that's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's never any fun, especially when you're in like the person said in the pit. And maybe that's the part where it's like, you know, if you knew and you saw even a glimpse of what Elisha saw, I don't know, to me that seems like it would be an uplift, but also just relying on God's promises and knowing that they're true. But that's not easy. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Second one. How do we know when to turn the other cheek and offer a feast to our enemies and when to defend ourselves from harm?
I'd say probably a lot of prayer, a lot of, I think that's also where judgment comes into play. And I think that's where you really have to check your humility level. Because there are a lot of times where I have gotten ahead of God. And if I would have just allowed him to take care of my enemies, it would have been so much better than trying to take things into my own hands and do it myself. And so on the other hand, there's definitely been times where I have zero regrets for saying the things that I think needed to be said or doing the things that I felt like needed to be done. So I think a lot of it really does come down to having a close walk with God so that you can understand which is which.
You mentioned, I don't know if this was the question that came up in Q&A, but I think you said something to the effect of, and maybe this was a different question, but I think that your answer can really applies here where, you know, in the decision that you're making about maybe in this situation, for instance, you know, God's not telling you one way or the other. So your response back to God might be, well, you know, I have to do something. And this course of action that I think is right or it feels right, and you haven't given me anything clearer to work with, it's what I'm going to go with unless you tell me differently. and I really like that because I think too often we just decide that, well, I don't hear anything. I don't know. I don't want to do the wrong thing. And we end up doing nothing, which in certain situations is just like totally blowing the whole situation up because I didn't say anything or I didn't respond, even if it was only partially correct. You know what I mean? Like it was well-intentioned, but I didn't get it right. So I really liked that answer that, you know, having discourse with God and maybe it almost sounds like a little challenge. Like, look, I'm trying to do the best I can here, but I need your help. And if you're going to be quiet, then this is what I think I'm going to do. What do you think? And I really like that.
Well, I think the power dynamic factors in as well, because at this point they have that Aramean army surrounded. So they're not really not safe at that point. Really, they hold the power of the Aramean army's safety or not safety. So, I mean, it's a different story when you're the one that's surrounded by enemies who intend to do you harm. So, I don't know. I think that may be part of it.
The last one is, how do we find balance between dealing with our present circumstances as we see them in our limited vision / perspective through our own resources and trusting God to take care of it while being still?
Ooh.
You know, I felt like in life that balance is a tricky thing. And knowing where that balance is can be difficult. So I don't have a good answer for you on that. Again, I mean, I feel like I'm back in Bible class at my freshman year of high school where the answer is always pray and read your Bible.
I mean, it's not bad advice.
Yeah. It's solid advice, but I also think it's worth noting that life is pretty complicated. And I don't, you know, I think most of us are doing the best that we can, trying to figure things out, trying to do what we will be God honoring. But it can be difficult to know for sure. So, you know, that's the beauty of being a part of a church, is walking with other people, getting their input, listening to other godly people and what they have to say, and pairing that with your own walk with God.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really solid one. You know, if you're local and you happen to be someone who hasn't been to Whole Life, you know, there are exactly those kinds of classes that meet every Saturday, Bible classes where, you know, you can come and discuss and talk and, you know, find community. And even I know that, and this week I surely meant to jump in, but I was a little busier than I had first anticipated. The table that happens, you know, even if you are someone that has joined us online before, or if you haven't, the table meets every week at 10:45 to 11:45. And it is hosted by our good friend Rod. And they, you know, the couple times I've been able to jump in there, you know, people are feeling like it's a safe space where they can discuss things that they have questions about, or that they're wondering, you know, how should we approach this when this happens? And, you know, it's not always connected exactly with the message, but there's room for questions. And so I would encourage you also to check that out. The link for that is always in the show notes. And I'm not sure if it's in Slack, but I will put it in there because, you know, this week we made sure even at second service to let everybody know, like, even if you're here at second, just because it's not, you missed it for this week, doesn't mean it couldn't be something that you caught next week and find that community. So even if you're not here local, it is something that we do offer every week. And so you might find that helpful as a place to find a little community in your life. All right. Next week is the final week. We're all done. I can't believe it. 4 weeks happened fast, but here we are. It's Christmas around the corner, whatever. Bah humbug. But this week it's pick me. It's pick me this week. So I have a feeling Ken's going to pick me. I'm not sure. Well, Ken kind of picked me last week, so I'm not really sure who gets – maybe it's someone else's.
So I think the series is pick me, and this week is expect more.
Are we done with double portion?
I think pick me was last week.
I think there may have been confusion over the –
Last week was Fearless.
Or what the series was.
Last week was Fearless.
The sermon title for this next week is Expect More.
Expect More?
All
it's
right.
A new series?
Yep. No. It's the last sermon in the series.
Oh, I got you. I thought it... Okay, well, Expect More. Well, there you go. I wasn't expecting that either. That wasn't on my bingo card.
You should have expected more, Randy.
I should have. But I mean, I usually do. I mean, that's usually a staple. I always expect probably too much. That's probably the problem, or likely the problem, but maybe not. I don't know. All right. Anything else that we're missing? We're going to be – now, if you remember last year's Christmas video, you know that I am not much of a Christmas person. Gabby was able to talk me into wearing an ugly sweater on camera and getting help to come down. And if you're a festive person and you like to decorate and you love Christmas, this might just be your gig, is to come and help us, you know, kind of make the lobby a little festive, I guess, if that's something you're into. I mean, I told Melanie, I think we can get coal, bags of coal, a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
We could just make piles. We can get your picture taken by a bag of coal. Mm-hmm. And she said no.
Yeah.
And so I guess
he also wanted a nice and naughty list, and I said no to that too.
Oh man. So we could definitely use your help. So if you are interested and that's something that you like to do, come and join the staff for a little decorating. And
are you providing coffee this year?
I probably could be persuaded to do that.
All right.
I talked to Karen just this morning, and there will be hot beverages and cookies.
Okay, then.
I guess we got to go to the gym twice next week if we're having cookies. Lucas, I'm sold. So if you're like Lucas and all it takes to get you to come down and decorate is some cookies and some hot beverages, well, come on down then. So I'll put that link in the show notes and in the Slack as well. So join us there. And I guess that's it. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening, and just have a fantastic week.